Oh, man. And the Prince of God and Christ, and of Christ, Jesus, will judge the living and the dead. And in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. For visitors, I don't normally do what I'm going to do. But the Lord spoke very clearly to me in the prayer time about us as a congregation, and I'm going against my personality here. Because I want to be nice. But I feel the Lord is saying, you know, to rebuke us as a congregation. And if you're a visitor, I don't often do this, very rare. Because I'm normally trying to encourage and please. And, you know, they say if you want to be popular, don't be a leader, go sell ice cream. I want to be popular. I want to be liked. I want to see this place full of people because it could be a sign of success. But I can't fear you guys. I've got to fear God, and I've got to please him more than I please you. And normally I wouldn't say you're doing great as a congregation and wonderful and thumbs up, and because I want to encourage. I want to present a Jesus who loves us, and he does love us. He really does. His grace is poured out upon us. I don't feel very courageous right now. But I really, the message I had this morning was for us to come back, our hearts, that God has got our hearts. You know, in Revelation, Jesus spoke to seven churches, and he spoke to the Angelos, which is the leader of the church, and only two out of the five, out of the seven, were doing okay. The rest, the other five, weren't doing well. And there was a serious consequence if they didn't adjust and didn't change. And this is, and as a congregation, I really hope that in every one of your hearts, you came this morning saying, I want to please Jesus. I want to live for him. I know he died for me. I'm a slave. I belong to him now. My life belongs to him. It's hidden in Christ Jesus. I can do nothing for my salvation. I can't earn it. But if we are born again and we're filled with the Spirit, then there should be such a desire to serve Jesus. If we can put up the first scripture that I gave you, then Matthew 13, 44, 45, and 46. Before I get there, what can happen, you know, say with charities and begging and things like that, you can get fatigue, which means when people say we need more money for a charity, or you see a beggar in the street, you get giving fatigue, as an example, and eventually you become numb and you don't really see the poor people anymore. You don't see the needs anymore. And in some ways in church like this, we can get response fatigue, where we come here week after week, we prepare messages, we wait on God to say, God, what do you want to say to the people? And God gives us something to say, and people are so used to just hearing messages, and eventually they become fatigued in terms of responding. And you preach, and at the end of it, you think, but why is nobody responding? They just become dull and not actually hearing what God is saying, because God does speak. I think he's spoken very clearly to me this morning, and I hope I'm going to convey God's heart this morning to us as a people. And this is always to build and to take forward, because Hebrews verse chapter 12 tells us that God rebukes and he disciplines those that he loves. So this is done in love. All discipline from God is in love because he loves. He doesn't discipline those he doesn't love. He only disciplines those that he loves. So this has got to be understood that it's a loving God. That would bring correction because he loves us so deeply and he wants us to fulfill what his requirements are, and he wants us to please him with our lives. And so I hope that's on everyone's heart this morning, that you will not be fatigued this morning, that you will receive this. Jesus often said, those who got ears to hear and those who got eyes to see, then hear and see what the Spirit is saying. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. And the title of my message this morning is Buying the Field. So the question, I want to challenge, I want to stretch us this morning. Have we bought the field? In your mind, you might have. You might think, man, I'm cooking for God. But one of the churches in Revelation, they were rebuked. They said, you have a reputation for being alive. Man, those guys are alive. They're on fire for Jesus. But he said, actually, you're poor and come buy from me. You're actually not doing well. And there's so many churches out there. I would call them church light. I'll be honest. I'd have no, you may say, don't be judgmental. We have to judge within the body of Christ. The Bible's full of judging within the body of Christ. Full of it, Scripture. And there's so many guys, you just want to go and find a church that will fit into their lifestyle. I know Gerard Hayes doesn't like these messages. I always mention that as well. But really, I'd rather have 20 people here who are serious about God than 300 who just want church to fit into their lifestyle and somehow manage church around their lifestyle. Time is so short. Jesus is waiting for a church to arise that the people will see that there'll be a light and that light will shine with the power of God. Not for a bunch of guys, just playing church. Not having a reputation. We've got a reputation out there. If we're honest, we have. As Josh Jen, we've got a reputation for being alive. Guys will come here because they heard we're alive. I met a pastor in the local area a while back and he said, what is it about you guys? Why are you so alive? And I said, because our people love Jesus. Their priority is Jesus. I said, describe your elders to me. He said, my elders don't even come to church some Sundays. With the sun shining, they go to the beach. I said, there's your problem. They're not modeling. The Bible's Hebrews 13:7 says, imitate your leader's faith. Modeling something. We see as criteria for elders. Not as anybody can get up and give a good message or pray for the sick and get healed, but are there people of character? That's the most important thing to God. So the question, have you bought the field this morning? Have you sold everything in your heart? Have you sold everything for Jesus? There's even a young man who came to Jesus and said, you know, what I need to do to inherit salvation. And for that guy, he said, go and sell everything. Because he knew what was the highest priority in that man's heart was his riches. And he said he walked away disappointed. Jesus didn't run after him. It sounds like works almost to get into the kingdom. You've got to sell everything. Because he knew, what has got your heart? What grips your heart this morning? And I hope this morning, by the way, by the time we finish this morning, that God would have done surgery in your heart. Please open your heart this morning to that. Don't put up, you can put up a shield and a wall to me as I'm speaking, and this is too hard, and you're going to lose out. You will not grow in God. You will hit a wall in your growth in the Lord. And folks, you're going to give an account to God one day for your life. Even this message, you're going to have to give an account for what you heard. And I only want to preach the Word of God, not my feelings, not my emotions. I am feeling a bit, I waited for worship to go along because I was feeling very, very emotional in terms of, I was just weeping through worship for His church. His precious bride. You're so precious to Jesus, so precious to Him that He would do this. He would rebuke you. I read 2 Timothy. I don't want my job today. But my job is to rebuke and correct with all authority. God has given me authority to lead you towards Jesus. Not to beat you over the head. Not to drive you from behind. Not to put you into a box or control you. But to make you to fall in love with Jesus. And you know why I'm preaching this message? Because we had a gathering 10 days ago on a Wednesday night at the Lighthouse. And Andrew prepared a message that he felt God wanted to share with us as a church, all the 22 congregations, or how many were there at the time. That I don't think the guys came from the Southern Cape. And that was an incredible gathering. God built something into us that day. And I want to come and build on top of those foundations. I don't know if I can because you weren't all there. Now, that sounds controlling. All that sort of stuff going through your head, whatever. I don't care. But the Bible says in Acts 2:46, they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. If Andrew's an apostolic gift to us and God's put a message on his heart, he's prepared and he's brought what God wants to say to us, and you're not there. Now, if you weren't there for a legitimate reason, you had a school meeting, you're sick, no worries. I'm not talking to you. If you're a visitor, tighten your seatbelt. You're okay. But if you remember this church, you said, guys, I want to walk with you in this life. I want to serve Jesus with you in this life. And we recognize Andrew as someone who's apostolic to us and has waited on God to bring something to us. And guys couldn't be bothered to be there. And you need to repent. I'm honest. You need to repent of that. Repentance, that's where everything starts, is repentance. God, I was wrong. You were wrong if you weren't there. And I don't speak like this easily. Those who know me, who've been in this church, I very seldom will speak like this. But you were wrong to not be there. If you're feeling, and right now, if you're feeling bad, receive it. Don't say, I'm not going to receive that. You will lose out. You will lose out in your growth and your relationship with God if you don't receive that. I really believe this is a message from God to take us forward, to take us into more, to grow us in our relationship with Christ Jesus. But how can we grow if we're casual about the things of God? Man, this is not a joke. This is not a warm-up. This is not a get another chance. There's no other opportunity. The Bible says it's given for once for man to live and then to die, then to answer for his life. You've got one opportunity. There's no karma. There's no reincarnation. As other religions believe that nonsense. You've got one life to live for Jesus and to present and to live flat out for him with everything you've got. Has God really got your heart this morning? And I want to just put a few scriptures up, just to look at some of the things. Can you put up Matthew 15, verse 8 and 9, please? These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. Talking about the Pharisees. And folks, we can become Pharisees. We can have worship here. And everyone's raising their hands and saying things even with their mouths, but they'd have no intention of actually doing. Christians don't tell lies. They sing lies. Take it all. You can have it all, Lord. Okay, I want that. Oh, no, not that. That's me. It's my life. You can have it all, Lord. Please receive this. Please receive this for your sake. For your sake. Mark 3, verses 4 and 5. Then Jesus asked them, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger. Anger, hey? This is our God. This is Jesus. He was angry. He's got a righteous, holy anger. So, and deeply distressed, which means you are seriously hurt in your heart and worried and concerned at their stubborn hearts, which means your heart's not movable. And he said to the man, I'll stretch out your hand. He stretched out and his hand was completely restored. Now, that's often can creep into the church as well. We have stubborn hearts and we can distress Jesus by our attitudes and by our lack of wanting to serve him. You know, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can grieve God. He's got emotions. He has. And he experiences everything the way we do. He looked over Jerusalem and wept over Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how long to gather you. And this morning, I believe God is saying, Durbanville morning, how long to gather you? How long to take you into more? How long to reveal myself to you and to show you what I so want to show you in me? But you're too busy. You've got other priorities, other things that have got your heart. I don't have your heart. You give me a little bit of your heart. Just enough, you think, to please me. Is that enough, Lord? What's the minimum I can give you, God? Just keep you happy and that I can feel okay in my conscience. And you've seared your conscience, actually. You've actually got so used to shutting down God. God, you don't even hear God clearly any longer. So I've got to get up and do a message like this, which I hate doing. Because I hope I'm getting your attention in the Lord. I hope I'm preaching from God. I'm going to get judged for this message. You know that. So don't be in a hurry to be a teacher. You're going to get judged more harshly. I'm very aware that God's going to judge me if I hurt you in any way, if I bruise you in any way. I hope you're receiving this in love. That this is God speaking to correct us for our benefit, to please Him. I just felt God wasn't pleased this morning. I shut worship down. I said, this is not real anymore. We're not real right now. Right now, we're not real. This is not coming properly from the heart like it should. Matthew 19, verse 8. God talks, Jesus replied, Moses permitted you, they're talking about the context of divorce. Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard, but it was not this way from the beginning. So sometimes we can start compromising because of hardness of heart. As a church, we've refused to compromise the word of God. Refused, made us unpopular. Guys will leave here because of issues like marriage and divorce. Because we've got to go by what the Bible says. We can't go by what's popular in culture and what's popular. And the church, is, by and large, has capitulated to the world in the area of marriage and divorce. And marriage is such a pure and beautiful thing. And God wants us to hold it up as a light to the world of how marriage should be. And when the Christians start divorcing just like the world, what hope has the world got? What do they see? We're called to reflect Jesus. We're called to be a city on a hill, a light. But it says if we lose our saltiness, salt is there for a reason, to be salty. But if you lose your saltiness, you don't have no effect any longer. For visitors, I often encourage, I think God's pleased with us and we're doing well. But right now, I just feel we're in a place where God's saying, it's time to grow, time to change gear, time to shift. John 5:42, please. But I know you. I know that you do not have the love of God in your heart. Sorry for not putting that in full context. I normally like to read before and after to give the scripture context and to know what they're talking about here. But he's talking about people not having love in their hearts. That's pretty straightforward. And we can actually lose a love for God in our hearts. And it's not just emotions that you feel during worship. Love is actually God. You rule and reign in my heart. That's love, when your heart is completely His. And the good news is that God doesn't want to hurt us. He's got our best interest at heart. He works all things to the good of those who love Him. So He's not out to make life miserable. For some of you, I haven't come from a traditional church background. So I know a lot of you do, especially Afrikaans people, come from a traditional church background where you'd hear that God is angry all the time. That's why I was quite scared to bring a message like that, like this to us, because some of you are hearing through the filter of God is always angry. He's not always angry. He's slow to anger, abounding and full of love. But there are times when we read in Scripture, He does get angry when we don't respond well in our hearts towards Him. John 12, verse 40, please. He has blinded their eyes and deadened their hearts so they can neither see. He's talking about the devil, what he's done to people. They can neither see with their eyes nor understand with their hearts, nor turn, and I would heal them. So he's blinded their eyes, deadened their hearts. And the devil can do that. He can do that even to the church, even to Christians. He can deaden your heart. Some of you are sitting here with dead hearts this morning. You made an initial commitment to follow Jesus and said, Lord, I'm covenanting to work with you. But there's a hardness that's crept in and a deadening. And I'm not even sure if this message will get through to some of us. Because you're so deadened and so hardened your heart towards God. You're just going through the motions of being here. Okay, let's go to Acts 2:46, please. We use the scriptures a lot, Acts 2:42, to speak about the type of church that we want. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. And I'm hoping we'll do that this morning. We've got the emblems here. It speaks about the death of Jesus, the breaking of His body, the blood that was shed for us to cover our sins and to bring us into righteousness. And I want us to do that with glad and sincere hearts once we've gone through maybe a cutting in the spirit of our hearts to bring our hearts back to God. And then Acts 7, 39 and verse 40. And this is Stephen speaking before the Sanhedrin, before he gets stoned and killed. Stephen the deacon. And he's recounting the whole history of Israel. But he says, our fathers of Israel refused to obey him, God, and said they rejected him. And in their hearts, they turned back to Egypt. They told Aaron, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who led us out of Egypt, we don't know him. What has happened to him? Hold it there. Now, Egypt is always symbolic of the world. Okay, when we come out of Egypt, that's coming out of the world. It's a type and a shadow of leaving behind the world that we lived before we became Christians and becoming born again and going to the promised land. Moses is a type of Christ where he led the people towards the promised land. But we see that they got to a place where they actually turned against God. And then they were asked to make idols, other gods. Now we always say, oh, that's them. We don't have little idols in our houses. We just go cycling on Sundays. We just go play golf whenever. And we're worshiping our careers and we're worshiping our children and our families. Now, all that stuff is good. Nothing wrong with that. But when it takes priority over Jesus in your heart, then it does become a problem. Because he said, unless you hate your mother, father, brothers, and you list a whole lot of scenarios of relationships, then you can have no part of me. And that sounds so harsh. But he's trying to make a comparison because I'm Jesus. I'm everything to you. All these other things are just an overflow of knowing me. I love my granddaughters. We spent the day with them yesterday. And Jenny will tell you, my granddaughters are everything to me. And there was a place when I made an idol of them. And the Lord had to speak to me and bring my relationship into balance. But these things can become priorities, and we make other. So we don't make little golden calves, but we make other idols, things that take the place of God. Anything that's taken the place of God and got higher priority in your life is an idol, and you've got to tear them down this morning. You've got to smash them in the power of God. Next scripture, just those two verses I give you. Yeah, and the two more scriptures, then I'm going to land. Colossians 3, verse 1-10. Now this is direction, okay, I feel this has been correction, now I want to give direction of where God wants to take us. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And that's the response I believe God wants us to make this morning. He wants to bring realignment to our hearts this morning, to set our hearts on Christ. Okay, that's what you're focusing on, the main thing you're going to focus on this morning. Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death. Okay, you've got something to do here. Therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, that could be pornography, masturbation, all that stuff, any sexual relationship outside of a man and a woman in marriage, that is sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. Okay, there's a wrath of God that's coming, and I want to teach on that at some stage because we forget what we say about us sometimes and what's going to come upon the world. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these, anger, rage, malice. That's been vindictive and a slander and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Isn't that exciting what God's saying there? Okay, he's saying let's smash the idols. Let's smash the things of this world this morning. And let's focus who we are in Christ Jesus. Put off the old things and let's put on the new in Christ Jesus. For a lot of this is a realignment time. Even for me, I'm finding God, I want to realign on that. I want to change God. I want to be more like that. I'm never satisfied with what God's given me. Never. It was attention. I am satisfied, but I'm not. Because God is on the move all the time. He's creative. He wants to take us into more continuously. And then the last scripture, James 4, verse 7 and 8. Submit yourselves, okay? So you've got to do something this morning. There's lots that we've got to do. We can't earn salvation, but once from salvation and filled with the Spirit, we can do a lot in terms of growing ourselves and pleasing our King. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Some of you have given into the devil, and some of you opened the doors for the devil, and that's why he's got a grip in your life, and he's got all these things over you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. So this morning, we're going to come near to God. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. A lot of us are double-minded this morning. We want the best of both worlds. We want to have a good life, and we want to serve Jesus. Now, if you serve Jesus, then maybe he will give you a good life. Because he loves us. He wants to give us a life in abundance. But if we get it back to front, we seek the abundant life without seeking the one who gives abundant life, then those things become idols. The things that grip our hearts more than God grips our hearts. So I hope I've made it very clear. This has been a very strange message, I know. Elders, anything I need to add or correct before I go further? So I would like us to respond this morning. We're going to break bread, but before we do that, maybe Kobus can just get on the piano for us, please. Let's all stand.